Are you beatboxing now?
Yeah. It's my new thing. I beatbox. How's it sound?
Pretty good.
Thank you. I worked on it all night. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. Welcome to the show. It's the Bill and Wendy show. That's the name of it.
Beatbox and Billy.
Beatbox and Billy. And Wendy's here, too. I have to say right at the very beginning that I'm a little bit nervous about today.
Why?
Because even though the day is young, it's just past 10 a.m. here in Chicago, I've already committed a federal offense.
Uh-oh. Did you steal someone's mail?
No. I don't know how this happened. Little background for those of you new to the program. Every day I am given $20 to do whatever I want with.
By whom?
My wife. My wife, Terry, has been kind enough to give me I get $20 a day, and I can do whatever
I
want.
And only $20.
$20, that's the limit. Because any more than that, and things would go crazy.
You must have a surplus at the end of the week because, I mean, no. Bertrand, do you spend 20 bucks a day? I don't.
No, I don't.
Well, although, keep in mind, I buy gas and I buy food and I, you know.
Well, you don't buy gas every day.
I bet on the ponies.
That's why she gives you $20 a day.
I think that has a big part to do with it.
Do you have a credit card?
I have a credit card.
He doesn't know how to use it.
I know how to use it. I just know that credit card equals trouble. You know what I mean?
So you have no debit either?
Old enough to know better. So this morning, upon leaving the house, I am given my daily $20. And then, of course, I quickly write a thank you note.
Does she pin it to your your jacket?
I get a bobby pin, and the 20 is pinned there with a sign that says, do not overspend. All right, so I promptly put the 20 in my wallet, you know, for obvious reasons, so that I don't lose it, because I will again. And then I go to pay for gas on the way here, and I quickly take the 20 out of my pocket, and this happens.
You ripped it in half.
I ripped it in half.
Tape it.
That's what I thought, because then I was paying for the gas. You have to pay in advance now, and I give the guy the 20, two halves of the 20, but I keep them together
to psych him out.
Yeah.
You're a terrible person.
Marshall Brodeen, I'm a magician or something. Look, I've made them into two halves. So then he goes, I can't take this. It's destroyed currency. You've destroyed U.S. currency. And I don't know how it happened, because all I did was take it out of my wallet. And there's not a lot in there, you know. So it just snapped in half.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. It's
I've
a crisp
one,
too.
I've never seen it happen. Oh, it's brand new.
This is a $20 secession.
Well, yes, it is. See, you can tape that.
I think so, too. But yeah. He said to me, the gas station guy said to me, he held his hands up. He said, he goes like, I'm not taking that.
That's going to look bad on the surveillance video, just so you know.
So how'd you pay?
Which, by the way, every time I'm on a surveillance video, I change my resume. I put that I have more TV appearances now. He wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it. And this is the only, I have $3 other. So I said, I bought $3 worth of gas.
Just fill it up once a week.
Then I have no money all week. What would I do? I'd have to put in for a bank loan for that. I can't do that.
What a
My
pain
car's
in the
been
neck.
Filled once.
You got to go to the gas station almost every day.
He does.
Every
other he day. Does. I mean, what a pain day. In the now. Ass. Just go on Sunday night and fill her up.
Yeah, but then I like the interaction. I like being around.
The interaction of what? The people or the pump or the
everything.
The fuel?
The smell,
I feel like I've accomplished something.
Right. Do you go to the same place every day?
No. You mix it up.
Because they would have thought you were nuts.
Well, that's already come up once or twice.
I want to see the movie of Bill, of Bill's day.
I'm telling you, there's a sitcom brewing.
Chicago on $20 a day. It could happen.
Because, you know, you're weirdly uncompetitive and then weirdly competitive.
Right. No, I know. I get that. Yeah. But don't you think if you're the guy working at the service station, don't you just, because he's probably got tape there somewhere. He could tape it. But the way he held his hands up was like, I want no part of this. You've already committed a major offense. I'm not getting in on this.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you taped it, if I got change back from a place and it was a taped $20 bill, I'd be like, excuse me, do you have another one?
I want a fresh one.
I mean, here are two options you can do.
Yes.
You can tape it very neatly and make sure the pieces add up because it's a clean tear.
Make sure Andrew Jackson's nose is exact as it would be.
Or
it actually it follows the line of Andrew Jackson's face perfectly. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where the weakness is in the paper.
He's got a weak chin.
It's for Andrew Jackson, Matt. Don't tell me that.
You need a man with a strong chin, not a weak chin.
They should have put Kirk Douglas on the 20.
All right, it'll
it's
never.
Their fault.
You know,
it's
they
not my
talked
fault.
About it for a while. They were going to do that.
So you can tape it perfectly, which I've done before, or you can just go to the bank and say, you know, because you still go to the bank every other day.
That gives you another stop, more interaction, Bill.
It's going to be a good day.
It's actually working out great for me.
I'm going to rip a bill tomorrow.
But I know this sounds idiotic. I can't get in trouble. There's no way you can get in trouble for this because technically I've defaced currency. Which is
people
a federal
write
offense.
On money too. I've never done it. You're not supposed to, but they put their name and date, and they want to see how far it's traveled around the world.
Oh, that's a fun game.
Our puppy ate half of two 20s.
No, you don't want to tape that together.
No, I couldn't because they were two different halves. He
somebody
ingested
be wise to that.
Right.
The other half of it. So I just took it. As long as you have half or more,
then it's
you take it to the bank. And I just said that my dog chewed these, and I can't shake it out of him. Oh. He's not a piggy bank. And they said, here, no problem. And they took the halves and gave me two 20s.
Oh, all right. Maybe I'll try that. I just don't want trouble. I'm just in this for no trouble. That's all I want. But I wished so badly somebody could have seen the face on this guy at the service station. He looked like I had just done the most awful thing in the world, and he's backing away and his hands are up. Don't get me involved in this.
So you barely put a gallon in your tank?
$3.20 worth of gas.
That's not, I mean, what, that's a gallon?
Roughly, yeah.
No, it's about a gallon and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
What is it, like $2.99?
I didn't have time for math problems, Wendy. I just wanted to get out of there without being arrested. There was no time to work out. He handed me a sheet of math problems. Here, and there's extra credit on the back. I don't have time for that. I'm escaping the law. The popo are after me, I yelled, Wendy. I've never yelled that before.
Somebody says you need more than half, otherwise people would just cut their money in half and double their money.
You need more than half.
Brought it. Maybe it was a little more than half.
I bet it was like a two-thirds or something.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Three-fifths, five-sevenths.
So they've got some sort of a scale or a graph that they can determine the exact percentage of dollar bill that's still intact? That's amazing.
I just think they look at it, Bill. 51%. Although, a listener, Bill. Hi, listener, Bill.
Hello. Now, as long as both serial numbers on both halves match,
they do.
It doesn't matter if it's taped together because both the serial numbers are what counts.
Oh, okay. All right. That sounds good.
Do you want me to tape it?
Then,
I'm very
then
artistic.
You know that you don't have two fraudulent halves because both the serial numbers match.
Oh, okay.
Who would check that, though? I'm sorry. That clerk that held his hands up.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's how you explain a taped bill to someone behind the counter.
Bill,
won't take it. Say, look at it. Both the serial numbers match. Pull a bill out of your drawer. Do both serial numbers match?
Yeah.
The only difference is a piece of tape.
Oh.
So, Bill, you need to learn how to videotape with your phone.
Yes.
Tape them together.
Yes.
Go back to that guy.
Yeah.
And explain it to him when you give him the 20.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
I'd go to a different gas station if I were you.
Yeah, I'm already...
But the best thing to do with a tape bill is take it to a bank and they'll give you another one as long as the serial numbers match.
I'll try that.
And it does have
but
to be...
the serial numbers that count. That's what's the most important thing.
All right, Bill, listener Bill, what if a puppy ingests half of it? It has to be two-thirds or more?
Well, like I say, you have to have the full set of serial numbers on both halves.
I only had one half, and it was more than a half. They gave me... I went to my bank...
No questions asked.
I said my puppy ate it. It had to have been more than a half, though, then, now that I think about it.
Okay.
I think they were generous.
Yeah.
Because I think any federale would say, both numbers don't match, you're trying to scam me.
Well, Wendy's practically law enforcement at home, anyway.
We're I know
she chases people. I know.
Thank you, Bill.
Have a good one.
You do the same thing.
I'll have you tape. I already tried Gorilla Glue on it, and I made it worse, I think.
Oh, my God.
We'll get this fixed. Everything's going to be fine. All right, we'll take a quick break.
Felon.
And then more
You're
show.
A felon.
I am a felon. Later in the show, just a couple of highlights, or what we hope are highlights. Dean Richards will join us. That's at 11:35. We'll tell you about some new movies coming out. It's the holiday movie season, so there's some big films opening this weekend. And also, we've been fortunate enough to get some gift certificates to Uncle Julio's. We're giving away a $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's. We'll do that later on. I have written a game, and we'll play that game later.
Yesterday, when we were talking to listeners about who they'd like to have lunch with, living or dead, someone mentioned Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
I saw the best Twilight Zone over the weekend. I guess it was two nights ago.
Which one?
And it featured the professor from Gilligan's Island.
Russell Johnson?
Yes. And he was able to time travel, and he was, I don't want to give things away because some people haven't seen all of these, and when they come up, they're just really great.
Yeah.
But he was they were talking about time traveling, and he didn't believe in it. Well, all of a sudden, the professor time traveled to the Ford Theater on the night that Abraham Lincoln went to see that play and tried to prevent the assassination.
Really?
It was really good.
I've never seen
that Twilight
Zone.
I hadn't either.
Isn't it amazing when there's a show that you've watched for years and years and years, and all of a sudden there's an episode that takes place that you've never seen? That used to happen every once in a while with the Dick Van Dyke Show or with the Andy Griffith Show, because I really thought, I've seen every second of the Dick Van Dyke Show or the Andy Griffith Show, and then there'd be an episode, and I go, how have I not seen this? It's like a new episode. This is great.
I was entirely shocked that I had never seen that before.
So Russell Johnson,
yes,
a.k.a. the professor, Professor Roy Hinckley, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think it is.
You're twisted.
Thank you. He is the inventor of some device.
No. He is playing a card game with various other people that you would recognize. I've seen him in other places. I don't know who they were. And he was playing a card game with them, and one of the guys was talking about time travel.
Yeah.
And the professor's like, there's no way that could happen. Nobody could time travel.
Right.
And they're saying, you know, the big stock market crash. What if you could time travel back and invest all your money so you can take your money out before the big crash? And the professor's like, there's no way that can happen.
Did they call him the professor in this?
No. I don't remember his name.
Okay.
But the whole time I kept going, that's the professor.
Did they keep asking questions about Gilligan and stuff? Could you give me Marianne's phone number? She seems nice. Were they doing stuff like that?
This is pre-Gilligan's Island, I bet.
Yeah, it would be.
And Jim kept getting annoyed because I kept saying, oh, that's the professor. He's like, I know, you've said that five times. I couldn't get past it. He was very much overacting, if you want to know the truth. Which he kind of did on Gilligan's Island,
all did.
Too.
Yeah,
I guess.
Did you ever see the guy who played Fred Flintstone, Alan Reed? He was in a bunch of movies. And as a kid, whenever he would show up in a movie, I was out of the movie. Like, whatever was going on in the movie, all I could focus on is, it's a real human being with Fred Flintstone's voice. Like, whatever movie he was in, I would just stare at the TV screen and go, I can't focus on the movie anymore. I just see Fred Flintstone talking to his wife, and it's not Wilma. How upsetting is this?
It was bothering you.
Right.
Well, then I just forgot how much I adored Rod Serling, as he comes in.
Genius.
He really was.
What a genius.
And Alfred Hitchcock, too.
And I know I've pointed this out in the past, but half of the Twilight Zone episodes, as good as they are, end with the surprise that they've been on Earth the whole time. Like half
the
episodes.
I know.
That was just like the go-to ending. I don't know how to end this episode. Let's put them on the planet Earth and say that they've been there the whole time. All right. We'll try that.
Can't go wrong. Russell Johnson. Oh, he passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty sad. I can't find
Marianne and Ginger are the only two surviving members of the original seven.
Wow. When did Bob Denver die?
A couple years ago. Just a few years ago.
It's a sad day, Bill.
Yeah.
It's called Back There.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at a socialite club, and they're talking about, you know, going back to time travel. If you see it, it's really good.
In the 1980s, they tried to bring the Twilight Zone back, and it was only on for a year or two on CBS. And some of the episodes were great, as good if not better than the original Twilight Zone episodes.
I remember that.
And I went and I found the box set, the DVD box set of that. And every once in a while, I'll pop in an episode. They're fantastic. I don't know why it didn't take off the second time. I think they've tried bringing it back a couple times. One time was right after the movie. You know, they did a Twilight Zone movie.
That was pretty good with John Lithgow.
Yeah. But on that, like every segment of the movie was a redo of an old original episode, you know. But with the new Twilight Zone, when they brought it back, it was all new episodes, and some of them are fantastic. I don't know why that show didn't last.
I don't know if I watched all of those, but just when you happen upon them, give it a shot, because I forgot how just amazing that show was.
Yeah, so good. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and then there's a lot more show, including your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to Uncle Julio's. That's coming up in just a little bit. Thanks, Steve.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Years ago, you would hear this song, and you'd go, that's a great song. And now, whenever you hear this song, who do you think of?
Pee Wee Herman.
That's it.
But that's been 25 years.
I know. We're old.
It has, hasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, this automatically is Pee Wee doing the big shoe dance.
I can't do Pee Wee.
Try again. That
no.
was close.
No, give it a shot.
You're near
there.
No,
that was closer to Krusty the Clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
Can't get there.
All right. Well, we have an awesome gift to give away. $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's, made from scratch Mexican. I saw the television commercial yesterday, and these Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls look fantastic. They're handcrafted with mesquite grilled steak or shrimp, braised pork or sauteed pulled chicken, and they will revitalize your day. And people need to work for it today. How do we want to do this?
Well, I have written a game, Wendy, that I call Cry Uncle, in honor, of course, of Uncle Julio. So what you want to do is you want to call us on your telephone at 312-981-7200. Call us right now, 312-981-7200. We will randomly select two people to square off against each other. The winner gets a $100 gift certificate. The loser gets nothing, Wendy. That's how life is.
Oh, we have
That's
some bonus. Yeah, I could find something.
All right.
That we could give them.
But it won't be as good.
No, and I mean, come on. It's the giving season.
I guess.
We got stuff on our sheet.
All right.
All right, shall we meet our contestants?
Let's.
All right. The first caller is named Brandon. Hi, Brandon.
Hello. Good morning.
Where
Brandon,
you
we apologize for the tough vetting process. It's just like being on Jeopardy, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Where are you calling from? Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you hang up on Brandon?
No, I did
Enough
not.
Of his nonsense.
No, Brandon, you're there. Hang on. All right, where are you calling from, Brandon?
Deer Park.
Where's Deer Park?
Just...
I did hang up on him. Oh, crap.
Why?
I hung up on him. It was an accident. I was trying to...
Deer Park. Thanks, but no thanks.
No, we got to get him back.
How?
I don't know.
Jasmine, you have to go to Deer Park and find Brandon.
I can't believe you hung up on him.
Well, I can because I was trying... I haven't...
I like you that you almost hung up on him once.
Right,
and
then you stopped.
Actually did.
You know, I thought you hit the button again so you can take a second caller. That's what I did, and he went bye-bye.
You know Deer Park Center? They advertise here. It's their shopping area
yeah.
by Lake Zurich. Man, everything is there.
They're our closest allies, Deer Park.
Hi, who is this?
This is Eve.
Eve, get ready. Right. Wendy's going to hang up on you if you say one wrong
on
word.
A second.
You know the number to call back, right?
All right, that was not Brandon. gone completely south of the border.
Well, ironically, it's Uncle Julio's.
It's a different chain, I think.
I gotta let Brandon play.
So,
I have to.
All right, so we have to ask everybody who's on the phone line to give way to Brandon.
No.
No? How will you get him?
I don't know.
Jazz, do you have the technology there to trace the phone call that we got? You don't have that?
No. I do not.
All right.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna have to find an Uncle Julio's card to give him.
To give him out of your own pocket.
I'm gonna have to.
You have to pay for this.
All right, Jasmine. Has something changed with the phones? If I want to put two people on, don't I hit the button twice?
I think you're right. Yeah. You know what? I'll handle it from here. Don't do anything. I'll just do it.
All right, because that's what I did. I hit it again so I could put two callers on, and he disconnected.
Oh. I'm All sure right. it's the phone lines.
Pick two callers. If Brandon calls back, I'll know his voice.
We still have Eve, or is she also gone?
Slam 5.
Eve, you're still here, right? All right.
All right, Eve,
I'm
not
touching
anything.
This is like an episode
anything.
Of Lost. People just vanishing. Yeah,
right. Holy
Hello?
Poops. All right, Eve, where are you calling from?
Chicago, Illinois.
All right. Eve is one of the contestants.
Uh-huh. You should have said Deer Park. You could have been both contestants.
I will find Brandon, and I will.
Well,
I will. Put, I'll
you'll make
give
this
my
right
$100.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. All right.
Although I'm thinking he wouldn't have won.
Oh
he didn't
no!
Seem
you
very
can't
enthusiastic.
Say that.
Seemed
brilliant.
Right, pick another one because I'm not touching anything anymore.
Go with line two.
Line two, Jasmine. There you go. I'm not touching nothing. Who's this?
This is Tom.
Hi, Tom. Where are you calling from?
Good
Lombard.
Luck.
Lombard.
Lombard.
All right. All right, so we have Eve, who is calling us from Chicago. Eve, you know what you're playing for, I hope?
Sure.
Yep. What are you playing for? Tell us.
See, Brandon should have won.
Wendy.
Wow. Okay, this is to who I would take with me, right?
No. This is a new game. This is called Cry Uncle. I'll tell you the rules in just a little bit. But should you win, Eve, do you know what the prize is that you'll win?
The Uncle Julio?
Yes.
$100 baby.
Gift card.
Yes. All right. And Tom, you are calling from Lombard. These are our two contestants. Bill, I will now hand it over to you, and I will touch nothing.
All right. Here's how it works, everybody. The game is called Cry Uncle. There are 10 questions. Question number one is worth 100 points. Question number two, 200 points, all the way to 1,000 points. The questions will increase in difficulty as we go on. When you know the answer to the question, shout out your name, either Eve or Tom. You both understand those rules?
Yes.
I will also add this. This should help quite a bit. The answer to every question is Uncle Somebody. Every question is different, but they all contain the word uncle. Are you both ready to play Cry Uncle?
Yes.
All right. Here goes. Question number one is worth 100 points. No woodworking during the show. Who's doing drafting? That can't go on. All right. Question number one worth 100 points. Good luck to both of you, Eve and Tom. Question one. He wants you to know that he's the symbol of America. Tom?
Tom?
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam is right, Tom. You lead with a score of 100 points. Congratulations. Question two is worth 200 points. Here goes. This elderly gentleman has adorned boxes of rice since 1943. Tom?
Tom?
Uncle Ben.
Tom is correct. It is Uncle Ben.
Eve, you have to wait till you're called on.
Eve was just helping out.
But you have to say your name. When you know the answer, you yell out, Eve. Let's check your buzzer, Eve. Go ahead.
What, Eve?
Yeah, it's working. It's working. All right, two questions in. So far, our leader is Tom with 300 points. But you could tie him up with one correct answer here, Eve. Question three is worth 300 points. Here goes. If you put a light bulb in this ghoulish uncle's mouth, it will light up.
Tom? Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester is right. You have doubled your score at 600 for Tom. So far, nothing for Eve, but we're young in the game. Question four is worth 400 points. John Candy starred as this well-meaning Tom.
Uncle Buck.
Wow, you're on fire, Tom. An even 1,000 for you. Eve, it's not over yet, though. There's still six questions. You could easily win. It's 1,000 for Tom. It's zero for Eve. Question five in Cry Uncle goes like this. Harriet Beecher Stowe penned this 1952 novel. Tom?
Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom.
Cabin.
Uncle Tom's Cabin. Absolutely right. Very nice. 1,500 to zero. Second
Eve,
half of the
I'm
game.
I'm feeling really bad for you.
Me too.
You know what's sad? Brandon's doing better than Eve right now. And he got kicked off
and
the
game.
And
by the way, Brandon, text us your number and we'll get you something.
We'll get you something nice. All right. Question six worth 600 points. Here goes. William Demarest played this, the surliest uncle in TV, Tom.
Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie is right.
He's like an Uncle Savant.
I've been called it, yes.
2,100 for Tom. Eve about ready to explode. Here goes. Question seven with 700 points. We're so sorry that half of this Paul McCartney and Wings song is about Admiral Hall. Tom?
Uncle Albert.
Uncle Albert. Absolutely right. 2,800. Tom running the board against Eve. There are three questions left. Question eight, worth 800 points. The Walt Disney Company has done all they can to erase this once beloved friend to Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, and Brer Bear.
Uncle's up,
Tom.
Wait, you can't yell Tom's name, Eve. That's not fair. Wow. I will read the question one more time. The Walt Disney Company has done all they can to erase this once-beloved friend to Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, and Brer Bear. Nobody getting this one. Wendy, do you know the answer?
Uncle Remus.
Uncle Remus is absolutely right. 2,800 for Tom, zero for Eve. Wendy has 800, strangely enough.
Come on, Eve.
Question nine, worth 900 points. Brian Keith's Family Affair character named Tom...
Oh.
Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill. Absolutely right. This gives you 3,700 points. Eve, you need a miracle. There's one question left. Here goes. This Michigan-born singer-songwriter sounds a little bit like this.
You don't know how you met me. You don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye.
Tom or Eve, anybody?
I love that song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Nobody on this one. Wendy, do you know this?
Was it Uncle Cracker?
It is Uncle Cracker. Absolutely correct.
Did I win?
No, strangely enough, you did not win. You beat Eve, though. Tom, you're our winner with 37. Eve, you didn't do... Well, yeah, you did. You did pretty badly. But that's all right.
All right. We'll give you a consolation prize, and it's awesome. Tom, here's what you won. A $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's. I'm gonna put them on hold.
In their
hold.
Respective corners.
Yeah, they're going to be on hold. But so Tom got a $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's, made from scratch Mexican. They have this new Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls, so you can get them while they're hot. They look delicious. And we are going to give Eve, this is pretty great, but she was terrible. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, in all fairness to Eve, Tom was amazing.
He was
I mean, he got
good.
All but one or two, and he was very fast.
We'll set Eve up with a certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Treetime Christmas Creations. It's a great prize. You have to go to Treetime, look around Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, featuring the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees and unique decorations anywhere. A pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Treetime is going to
Eve. Very, very nice. Very, very nice.
And Brandon, you have got to text me because I've got to do something for you. And then we'll call him back, and I'll never forget his voice. I'm going to have dreams about his voice.
A note to all listeners, when you call up, don't tell Wendy you're from Deer Park. She goes into a rage that I don't understand.
All right. Well, that was awesome.
That was fun. That was very fun.
All right. I want to play another game.
We'll figure something out.
Screwed up today's show in the last 40 minutes, and I need Brandon to call us or text us at 312-981-7200, and we have ways of figuring out that it's the Brandon. Although I'm telling you, Tom was probably one of the best players of any of these games we've ever had.
Frighteningly good.
Would have been tough to beat him.
The Ken Jennings of Cry Uncle.
Who's Ken Jennings?
He was the guy on Jeopardy that was getting questions like before the card would even go up and Alex would read the question, Ken Jennings knew the answer. Some sort of mental telepathy thing that I don't understand.
Have you been watching the Teen Tournament? Do you ever watch that on Jeopardy?
I've seen it in the past. Is it on this week? I haven't seen it
recently.
It was
on, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. And boy, these kids are so unbelievably smart. But their button-pressing finger is very crazy.
Really?
It's
why do you say that?
Because they're kids and they're impulsive and they're trying to win. And when you're a smart person, you really try and get your hand up first and answer. If you watch the Teen players, many of them like just go crazy hitting that button. It's just, you know, the adults, they hit it once, they know what they're doing, but I seem to watch the teens always like come on.
Really?
But someone has already beat them to the buzzer, yet they're still just pressing.
For years and years, when I would watch Jeopardy, I never saw the handheld device that is the buzzer. It was always kept kind of under the deck. And then a guy that I went to Second City with, a guy named Cliff, was a contestant there on Jeopardy. He won an episode of Jeopardy. And during Cliff's reign on Jeopardy, he held that buzzer thing up high in the air.
Oh, yeah, I've seen people
do that. People do that now. That's a buzzer style for today. But I think Cliff was the first in Jeopardy history. Because until then, I didn't know how magic, like I envisioned some sort of a giant button underneath the console
that they
would hit.
Yeah. Or
like
your foot.
Simon, remember that game Simon?
Yes.
I pictured like Simon under there where you'd hit a giant button, but then Cliff had like, it was like a handheld with a wire on it. He'd hold it up by his face.
There's someone we should meet. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Brandon.
Brandon, congratulations. You just broke your record for being on the show the longest without getting hung up on. Good for you.
Brandon, where are you calling from?
Deer Park.
This doesn't sound like you.
I think it's Brandon.
It is me. And my mailing address is Deer Park, so if you do mail me something, you'll obviously be mailing it to me.
What if you just move before it gets there?
I can't apologize enough.
Wendy feels awful, Brandon.
I really do.
She ruined your holiday.
I can give you a couple of items on our prize list, and I can run through them if you want.
Sure. Are we on air?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
We ask ourselves that every day.
So do the listeners.
How can we possibly be on the air?
I'll tell you what. How about a Lou Malnati's gift certificate?
Sure. Everybody loves pizza.
Yeah.
Were you listening along to the Uncle game?
Yes, I definitely knew
would
Uncle
you have
Cracker.
Done,
that was for sure.
This guy Tom just ran the board. How would you have done against him?
Well, he didn't get Uncle Cracker, did he?
He did
I
not.
Definitely would have got that one.
No, he was pretty quick to the draw with all the other ones.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a reunion show one day. You can be on that one.
All right. Well, we'll set you up with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. You can go to loumalnati's.com. We'll arrange for that. And are you a sports fan? Do you have a favorite sports team here in Chicago?
Oh, Chicago Bears, of course.
Haha, Bill.
Of course.
So you're super happy now, Brandon.
Yeah.
They're doing really well. Well, how about we'll set you up for a certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington.
Brandon, what sorts of things were you saying about Wendy right after?
I'm so sorry.
Just one example.
Just a word or phrase.
Yeah. You don't want to say. You don't want to say.
Oh, darn.
All right.
I am so sorry. So we can set you up with a pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree, maybe in the blue and orange, whatever you'd like, and a Lou Malnati's. Is that a good consolation prize?
Sure. That sounds great.
All right.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I have $20. I can get you a $20 gift card to Uncle Julio's if you want it.
So the reason I call is because we have the Uncle Julio's right there across the street.
Oh, it's so easy.
It.
Wendy, it would have been so easy for him to go. Oh.
Get his information and let me see what I can do. Maybe I can double my 20.
Yeah.
Give me your ripped 20 and I'll tape it together. Maybe we'll have $40 to Uncle Julio's.
All right. Done.
All right, Brandon, hang on. We'll get all your information. I am so very, very sorry.
No problem, Wendy.
That's the first step is forgiveness. I think we just saw a Christmas miracle. He says he forgives you. I don't know if he really does, but he says he does.
I got to go visit some people. I need to talk to Uncle Julio.
That was like the most Sopranos thing you've ever
really?
Said.
No kidding.
Wow.
I got to talk to Uncle Julio myself.
Wow. Listen, Julio.
He lives right across the street from one.
I know.
Did he say that in Deer Park?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's right there.
I suck.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you, I have the last 40 minutes. Maybe I should just go home.
No. Well.
You've got the whole bonus hour coming.
That's no bonus.
Come on. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to turn out. Dean Richards will be on, and before you hang up on him, maybe he'll tell us what movies to see this weekend. It'll be fun. You'll see.
I'm sure Dean has hung up on people, too.
Sure.
You
out of
have
anger,
to.
Though, not out of anger.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I guess
always
that's
out
the
of
difference.
Spite. Coming up,
sorry,
the stories
Brandon.
That
I'll
matter.
Mention you every hour.
Wow. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
I think of you every time I hear this song now.
The Havana Na 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 song?
Yeah.
I love the Havana Na 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 song.
I like the Sha Na 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 song.
Jasmine, book Bowser for our Christmas special.
We'll
love
do.
To see Bowser.
We're doing a Christmas special?
Yeah, I just decided we should do a Christmas special.
What day should we do it? Because we're off.
Oh, that's true. Tomorrow.
We're off.
Let's do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you into life hacks at all? Because I
things that make life a little easier?
Yeah, I search the internet when... sometimes when I have a problem, and sometimes I just find these, life hacks, and I go and look at them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a coffee pot. I know you don't drink coffee. Does anyone in your family drink coffee?
My wife does.
So does she make a pot of coffee every morning?
I don't know about every morning, but some mornings, sure. Every now and then, I don't know. I'm not usually up when she's up. She gets up before me.
All right, because I set the timer on our coffee pot to go off at 6:30 because there's something, it helps you wake up when you smell coffee in the morning.
Yeah, I guess.
I wish there was a bacon atomizer.
Wouldn't that be great?
Now, I don't really want the bacon, but to smell it, wouldn't that help
Why
you wake up?
Why doesn't somebody invent that? That would be fantastic.
That's my next life
hack. That's such a good idea.
All right, so I wake up to coffee every day, and you can have a glass carafe.
Yeah.
Or aluminum one.
Yeah.
Mine is aluminum. And I looked in there, and it was just completely covered in, like, coffee stains.
Oh.
And I couldn't get in there to really clean it. It was just kind of caked on, and every once in a while, you'd pour a cup of coffee, and some of the crust would come off. And I'm like, I've been scrubbing. I don't know what to do. And then I found this life hack that I want to share with people because I couldn't believe it. You heat boiling water, you put it into the carafe in the sink, and then you drop a dishwashing tablet into it.
Uh-huh.
You leave it sit for 30 minutes. I rinsed it out completely
it's
like it's brand new.
And there's no lasting residue or aftertaste from that. It's completely
clean. Well, you keep rinsing it.
You'd have to keep rinsing, sure.
But, I mean, think about it. You put that in your dishwasher.
Yeah.
That rinses off.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I can't tell you. I was going to buy a new carafe. I was going to put it on my Christmas list. You just put boiling water in it. And one of the, I'll be honest with you, I had to do it twice. It was pretty crusty.
Oh.
But it was like brand new, spick and span, sparkly in there. And then another life hack that I just happened to come upon while searching the internet.
Yeah.
Do you have a garbage can in a pull-out drawer, or do you just have a garbage can in
your
kitchen?
It's just a regular, it's under our sink, but you just pull it out. It doesn't magically come out. No.
Right, no, I know, but some people have a garbage can.
Right.
When you put the trash can liner in your bag,
yeah.
Does it sometimes fall in? Like,
sure, sometimes.
I have a hack. It will never fall in ever again.
Is it with a dishwashing tablet, or is that just for the coffee?
No.
What is it?
So many times with those little pull-out garbage bins, they're not that big, quite honestly.
Right.
So you have to change the bags very frequently.
Right.
Do you know what command hooks are?
Mm-mm.
They are self-adhesive hooks that you can put up to hang something
so
on the wall.
There's like a thing you pull on the back.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden there's paste. Yeah, I know what that is. Okay.
It's not really paste. It's like
what
an adhesive.
It? Oh, it is?
And allegedly you can pull them down and it doesn't ruin the paint or anything. You take two command hooks and you place them on either side of your garbage can upside down.
Yeah.
So when you have the strings from your garbage bag.
Uh-huh.
You connect them to those upside down hooks.
Yeah.
So it's completely connected.
Oh.
So you can push, you can put things in there.
Yeah.
I never have the issue now of the inner liner falling in because that is the grossest thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Command hooks on the outside of your garbage can about halfway down, put them upside down, and then the string from your garbage can liner, you just hook those, the drawstring, you just hook it on there. It is the most amazing thing. I'm going to make a video and
why
we can put it up.
Why don't you have a show on CLTV where you every week you have two or three of these? You just have little life hacks.
I love these hacks.
Show.
Because
yeah.
You're rolling your eyes already.
No,
you
I'm
don't
not,
care.
Well...
You don't think about these things,
do
you?
No, I just say...
You don't drink coffee.
No.
Do you change the
bag? We don't have any garbage at the house.
I bet you have a lot because you guys get takeout all the time.
Yeah.
Don't you hate that, though? Everybody keeps trying to shove more garbage in there.
Yeah.
It's like, just empty it.
At some point, you have to change it. I still remember as a kid, my grandmother had one of... At the time, these were space age and futuristic, but now it's old news. But my grandmother was the first person that I ever saw who had that garbage can that had a pedal on it.
Oh,
that
all
you'd do is tap the pedal and the top would come up and you'd put garbage in. And I would go out of my way when visiting my grandmother to find things that needed to be thrown away because I thought that was the most fun thing in her whole apartment.
It was pretty exciting when that happened.
Oh, I loved it because I never saw anything like it. And I was trying to figure out, could that rule be applied to other things around the apartment?
Like what?
I don't know. I have no
idea. The toilet seat?
Yeah, that would be great.
It would be good because then you wouldn't have to touch it.
Yeah, that would be a fantastic... A pedal, there should be more pedal-operated furniture. But like at the time, like now, those are old news. But I remember telling my friends about it. And they're like, your grandmother doesn't have that. Yes, she does. All you need to do is tap a pedal and it just opens.
You know what they have now?
Huh.
You just walk in front of the garbage can and you just kind of wave your hand and it comes up.
And it opens?
Yeah.
That's
your grandmother, had she still been alive,
would have
had one of those.
She would have loved, she was like an innovator of all new garbage technology. So that would have gotten her very excited,
It's, you just kind of like,
it's motion detectors, obviously.
So it opens up as you kind of approach it.
So you have to, before throwing anything away, you have to do that magic hand wand.
I think you just step in front of it.
Oh, and it just opens.
And it opens.
Oh. There are places like the grocery department at Target has this where the cases by which their refrigerated food is dark.
I love
it. But when you show up to look in the case, the light goes on.
It's like you're the king.
I love that.
Of the frozen foods.
I know.
And here's your parading.
Right.
And then as you approach,
the lights come on. The lights go on. The lights
Spotlights,
go on.
Spotlights, please.
That's the best.
It is pretty
great. I
don't
even want to buy any food there. I just want to see it light up. Who's the man making the pizza rolls light up? It's Bill. Enough already. We've seen it.
Dave, are you into life hacks at all? Because I swear to God, I love these things.
Oh, yes. I like that, too. But even before the life hacks, there's a product specifically made for the coffee pots, stainless steel thermoses, or even the glass lines. It's called Dip It.
Dip It.
Dip It. And it comes in a box probably about the size of a baking soda box.
Where do they sell this?
You can get it at Walmart or the Jules. You can go to Jules.
Yeah.
And they're in the, like, the cleaning section, you know, detergents and things like that.
And it's called Dip It. And when you purchase this, it's is it a lifetime supply or is it just enough for a couple of days? How much do you have to secure yourself?
No, just one box will take care of, you know, just if you have one coffee pot, it'll last you quite a while.
Now,
you know,
this says that it is Bed Bath & Beyond has it, and it's kind of made by the, it's like Dip It Lime Away, coffee maker and descaler and cleaner for automatic drip. It looks like it's liquid.
Well, this is a powder.
All right.
Okay? And they may have come out with a liquid. I wouldn't be aware of that, but it's like a powder. It's like a old laundry detergent powder type thing. And you pour a measured amount in there with boiling hot water, and you just let it sit. And 15, 20 minutes, you should be good to go.
It's a miracle.
It's probably much like the same thing of, you know, like a detergent tablet. So
possibly, yeah. Mm-hmm. But even before that, I've been using the Dip It for a long, long time with my thermoses I take to work. So,
see, do you remember when we were kids? I had a U.S. Mail lunchbox, and I had a thermos, and I loved it. And every once in a blue moon, I'd stay for lunch, and your mom would make chicken soup and put it in there, chicken noodle soup.
Mm-hmm.
And then your thermos smelled like chicken noodle soup for, like, the whole year. It seemed like there was no way to clean it. But I wish this Dip It would have been around back then.
Yes. I'm not quite sure how long it's been, but I've been using it for 15, 20 years now.
Really? What kind of lunchbox did you have when you were in elementary school?
I had the metal, you know, square lunchbox with the little latch on the top with the little rack for the thermos bottle.
But what was the theme?
The theme was, it was Airlines of the World.
Oh, nice.
It's a Pan Am. And I still have the lunchbox.
Oh, do you really?
I don't know why I can't.
That's excellent.
Because it's cute and it reminds you of your childhood when things were nice.
Oh, yeah. I had my mom put my name and address right on the top of the lunchbox.
That's so cool.
That's so cute. Well, Dave, thank you so much.
There's one caution, though.
What's that?
When I had the little thermos, it was glass lined. Don't drop it.
Right. They break very easily.
Why did they do that for a kid's lunchbox? Right. I mean, seriously, think about it.
Yeah.
How many times did you drop that thing? Once, you're done.
That's it. Yeah.
Right, yeah. They sell the liners you can screw back in there, but, you know.
You're not thinking about that when you're eight.
Right.
You think, my mom's not going to poison my high C. It's going to be safe. There's not going to be glass shards in my high C. Well, Dave, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
You had a cool lunchbox, didn't you?
I had Peter Pan in first and second grade, and then third and fourth grade Major League Baseball, where you could play a game of baseball. There was a spinner on it, and you could spin it for single, double, triple, home run, or out. So my friends and I would play baseball. But I like, out of all the different franchises you could have chosen, you went with U.S. Mail. That was a great choice.
It was so stupid. You know, because I never really stayed for lunch at school very much. My grandfather would always pick me up. I'd always come home for lunch. It's like I very rarely stayed at school.
But when you did stay, you wanted the kids to know that you were a supporter of the U.S. Mail Service.
It was shaped like with the dome top, kind of like a mailbox. That's all I remember is the U.S. Mail.
Wow.
And I very rarely used it. It was almost like a thrill to be able to get chicken noodle soup in my glass broken sharded thermos.
On one side of the U.S. Mail post box, lunchbox, was there a disgruntled employee who looked like they were just about ready to snap? Was that one of the pictures?
That was before that was going on. Life was so much less stressful then. That's when the U.S. mailbox was exciting. I know. Really, I think about
it. I love your mom going, now, Wendy, you can have Scooby-Doo. You can have Goober and the Ghost Chasers. You can have Hair Bear Bunch. Here's one you probably don't want, the U.S. Mail Service. No, I want that one. I have to have that one.
I don't know why. Maybe they just gave it to me. I'm sure I picked it out.
The mail service did?
No, it looked like a mailbox. I'm sure I could find one. I'm sure I still have it somewhere.
Wow. I'd love to see that. Were the other kids envious?
No one was ever envious of me.
I got a Department of Transportation lunchbox. I wish I got the U.S. Mail one.
Fine. That would've been better. Make fun of me. Mine could be used today. Your little cartoon ones, you'd feel silly bringing it now.
No, you know me. Would I?
No.
I wouldn't at all.
What was your briefcase when we worked at Q101?
I had a Tom Corbett Space Cadet lunchbox that I brought.
Every day?
Yeah.
You didn't have your lunch in there.
No, I kept my my important belongings in there.
Your car keys.
Yeah, my car keys.
Important
papers.
Back then,
I was only given $15 a day. I've since got a raise, but I kept my money in there. So all the important stuff.
Don't make fun of me. Pretty terrible that that's what I chose. I could have had anything.
Ooh, what's the lunchbox with Mr. Zip on it? The zip code guy. I want that lunchbox. Just
whatever.
Funny of all the choices.
Yeah,
did any other kid have a U.S. mail post box but you?
No, it was just
you.
No one really ever cared about it. No one ever paid attention
to it. No one's
going
to steal it.
I liked to be different.
Yeah.
I didn't like to blend in with everyone else.
It worked.
Some of my choices were not the greatest, but I was different. It was that or Raggedy Ann. The only thing that was popular then was Raggedy Ann. And I think I had a Matchbox car one, too.
Oh, now that's
later,
cool.
As I got a little older.
That's very cool. All right, we must take a break. If you want to jump in, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there, or you can text us there.
Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet too. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my room. Now my bed sheets smell like you. Every day I discover something brand new. I'm in love with your body.
Dave Bennett, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Dave Bennett, who says he's going to have a box set available for holiday gift giving of him just doing today's hits.
He is such a good sport. Oh, my microphone just broke.
Just broke your microphone.
This is not a good day for me.
Day. This has been a strange day. Somewhere Brandon from Deer Park is loving every minute of this.
All right, well, I'm just going to hold my microphone for a while.
That's
fine. Have to tell you, this World AIDS Day, despite big strides, find out the biggest barrier to stopping the AIDS epidemic. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
All right, I'm going to help everybody with their holiday gift giving.
Not yet? No.
No? Later? Okay. Or is it a tease? Later on, I will help everybody with their holiday gift giving. Don't go anywhere else.
We should just start today's show over.
Yep.
I have found my U.S. mail lunchbox, and I forgot all about this, but on the side, there's a little character who's holding a letter.
That's Mr. Zip. That's the guy that the post office came up with to tell people that zip codes can be fun. He looks like Don Knotts, right?
He does.
Thin, big eyes.
God, I loved this. And see, this is really class. This is $175 I just showed you on eBay.
The lunchbox you had as a kid is now
selling.
And
you made fun of me.
For $175.
What in the world would someone spend that amount? I mean, I had it, and I'm not going to buy this thing.
I think it's just because of how rare that one was. I don't know how many they sold.
Which one did you have again? Because I bet...
I had Peter Pan in first and second grade, and then I had Major League Baseball in third and fourth grade. And then if you had a lunchbox after fourth grade, everyone made fun of you. You had to switch to a lunch bag in fifth grade, or the kids, and sometimes the teachers, would rip on you. So even though I would have gladly have kept a lunchbox into my fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grades, that was the cutoff. Fourth grade, that's it.
All right, well, the Peter Pan lunch... Well, 1969, did it have them flying around on the front?
Yep.
That's only worth, I can't find it.
Probably thousands.
$44.
Is that all?
Mine was better than yours.
The artwork on it was great. Now, at the time, there were two major lunchbox companies. One was Aladdin.
That was my U.S. mail.
Yours was Aladdin. The other one was Thermos.
Oh.
It was the other company that was the biggest maker of kids' lunchboxes.
All right, $44.
Peter Pan is only worth $44, but the U.S. mail one is worth $175. That's just got to be the rarity of the U.S. mail one, right? There's nothing else.
Maybe I should have been the collector and not you.
I know. You are much better with the investments than I would have been.
There's a Disney on Parade vintage 1970.
My brother had that one.
Only worth $72.
It's still more than the Peter Pan one. I'm shocked the Peter Pan one isn't worth more.
U.S. mail was the way to go.
Now, the one in my collection that's worth the most is the Green Hornet lunchbox, which I never had as a kid. I wanted but didn't have it. And I think that one is somewhere in the $300 to $400 range right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, do you know that? Would you ever sell it?
No.
Why? What are you going to do with it?
Just gaze upon it with love in my eyes.
Vintage Green Hornet metal going for $200 on Etsy right now.
In good condition? That one's got to be beat up.
It's pretty rusty and beat up.
Yeah, because the better ones, I've seen better ones in the like $350-$400 range. And mine's in near mint condition.
Of course it is.
You don't want rust on it.
$224.95, and this has the thermos and everything and no rust. It's in new condition.
Oh, that's nice.
It's gone down in price.
It has. I wonder what's going on with that.
That one is still more than my U.S. mail, but yeah, you made fun of me. And look,
no, it, as it turns out, you can retire on it. Where is it? Do you still have it in your house?
I don't know. I have to ask my sister.
Oh.
I'll bet you.
She was the keeper of the lunchboxes for your family?
She lives in my childhood house.
Oh, right.
And I'm telling you, that's where I got my hoarding gene.
From your sister?
My dad, my sister, my mom a little bit. Yeah. My brother's a purger, but the rest of us are hoarders. Yeah. I'm sure it's still at our house with my Mrs.
You must
Beasley
have it
doll.
Somewhere. If she's listening, this would be a great Christmas gift for you, is to find
Mrs. Beasley?
Well, yeah, and the lunchbox. Stuff Mrs. Beasley in the lunchbox, see if you can do that.
You know, I have to tell you, she gave me Miss Beasley for Christmas one year. She does wrap up my old stuff and give it to me.
Oh, nice.
So maybe I'm getting the U.S. mailbox. I'm going to bring it
lucky.
To work.
You're so lucky. All right, we will take a break. And then Dean Richards will be joining us in just a little bit. But Wendy, first, this. Wait, is this for Omaha Steaks? Is this one? Oh, I didn't read it before. I teased it, but I didn't read it.
Jasmine, I don't know if you noticed me holding my microphone. Can you get an engineer to...
I did, but you were talking, so Ben's going to come in.
He'll come in later. He'll come in later. He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys tea.
Uh-oh.
What's wrong?
Well, Dean is on the phone with us today, and you know what happens with me and phones.
Your record has not been good with phones today. Dean, are you there?
I heard that it's technical pandemonium there today.
It is.
It's chaos. It's an apocalypse.
Yes.
It's pretty much my fault. It all started with me, so I don't know why, but hopefully I won't hang up on you like I did a caller earlier.
Some days that happens. Get hung up on, big deal.
Yep. Life goes on.
If I had any you-know-whats, I would have just hung up on you when you said that, Dean.
Don't.
That would have been funny, though.
Yeah, I'm too nice.
Dean, can you elaborate on a story you talked about with Steve Cochran earlier today? There's a one-man show that will be touring the country. We think Chicago, but we don't know for sure, and it's with Hugh Jackman. What can you tell us?
We can tell you that he's supposed to be making an announcement on his Instagram account a little bit later on today with more details on this. When I talked to him about a month ago about his movie, The Front Runner, that's out right now, the political drama, I asked him, are we going to be seeing more song and dance? And he said that he had an announcement soon, and that if you were a fan of The Greatest Showman, that you probably were going to be pleased with this. But from what I'm hearing about this, it's going to be sort of an evening with Hugh Jackman, not just The Greatest Showman, but kind of his greatest hits of some of the musicals that he's been in, both on stage and on film.
Yeah.
For example, supposedly there will be a little bit of Les Mis in this. There will be some Boy from Oz.
Uh-huh.
For which you won a Tony Award. There'll be some Oklahoma, Where the Wind Comes Whipping Down the Plain. Oh. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
Yeah, sure.
He did that on Broadway, and some Greatest Showman from the movie that came out last year as well. So really, that's all we know right now. It's just sources close to him talking about all this, very likely to be announced later on today. We know, obviously, it's going to be in New York because that's where he's based all of his live shows.
Yeah.
But this show is supposed to be going on the road, not only here in the U.S., but in countries in Europe as well. I imagine that means London for sure, mm-hmm. in the West End. But I can't imagine that they would do a tour of the United States and not stop
would
in
have
Chicago.
To. He is. Would you agree with me? He's limitlessly talented, isn't he? He can do pretty much anything he wants.
I absolutely would agree with that. He's great in musical. He's fantastic on live stage, but he's great in musical motion pictures and comedy, action movies as Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. When did we first see him? When
was
like his first role?
About that.
He's always been around, I think. Always. Since the beginning of time.
Those Australians are timeless. They're timeless.
They are.
I'd have to go back, I guess. I don't know if it was... I'm sure I was aware of him way before X-Men.
It's a long time ago. He was supposed to play the Tin Woodsman, but he was allergic to the makeup, Dean. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's a long 1940s. Yep.
He's holding up very well. He's holding up very, very well.
I have to say, last year he was in The Greatest Showman, and I wasn't in any hurry to see it. I watched it one night, and it blew me away. I couldn't believe how great it was, how great he was in it. The music was, everything was good about it. I just loved it.
Yeah, you know what? This is kind of interesting, because when I first saw The Greatest Showman, I didn't care for it that much. I don't know why. I think, critics, just like anybody else, sometimes you go into a movie and you're tired or you're in a bad mood or, you're bringing some baggage in with you, sometimes good and sometimes not.
Yeah.
Because I went back and watched The Greatest Showman again, and I thought it was delightful.
Yeah.
I really liked it. So, that just goes to show that the reviews that I give you are, really not worth a bag of peanuts.
You know who surprised me? Zac Efron, who I never expected to say this about in a movie, but I go, wow, was he good in it? Everybody was good in it.
He was really good in it. You mean because of the singing and dancing or just dramatic range?
Both. They got everything working in that movie. I was really surprised by how good it was.
Yeah, see, I was not surprised by the dramatic chops, nor the musical chops of Zac Efron. Because, as you know, I was regional vice president of the High School Musical Fan Club.
I always forget that. Right, yeah, right. And that's still going, right, Dean? That hasn't stopped,
has
it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you kidding me?
Stronger than ever.
High School Musical Forever is the tattoo that I have in an unmentionable place.
Oh, boy.
Dean Richards is here. You know him from the High School Musical Fan Club. He'll tell you what movies are coming out this weekend. Stick around. More of us in just a minute. Still left, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Dean Richards, one of America's favorite movie reviewers. Dean, it was so much fun to watch you doing Family Classics the other day.
Oh, thanks.
It really was.
That's so fun. We have what's left of the original Family Classics set that Fraser Thomas used on WGN television for years. But, to stand with the iconic giant armchair that he stood in the bookshelves and the Family Classic, the original Family Classic books that are up on the shelf, and to be able to add some new titles to that now is it's beyond an honor for me to be able to do that and say the words and now if you're quite ready, let us begin the way Fraser Thomas does. I get goosebumps right now. I'm freaking out
yourself.
The lady sitting next to me at the airport right now.
The box office...
She just asked for a new seat on the plane. She doesn't want to sit near me.
The box office had huge success over the Thanksgiving weekend, broke some records. What's going on? I know it was Ralph Breaks the Internet was one of the reasons, but why did so many people go out to the movies over Thanksgiving?
It's just, I think it's just a particularly good time for movies I don't know. Maybe people like me are looking for reasons to get away from their families.
Maybe.
And it was cold. There wasn't much to do. So sitting in a nice warm movie theater with popcorn would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here in Chicago, that's certainly the case. And, in other places in the country, the weather was a factor as well. But, when you have films, the two biggest box office movies this weekend were Ralph Breaks the Internet. I think it was $86 million. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But it was the second biggest Disney debut for a holiday weekend ever. Frozen was the number one movie debuting for Thanksgiving weekend, and Creed 2 was you know, the other big one that took in like 55 million, 57, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and both of these are, you know, pretty much the whole family can go see both of these movies. So that's really what it boils down to. I think that, you know, the studios very strategically placed films that are movies that the whole family can go and see. That's certainly the case with Ralph Breaks the Internet. It's, you know, super family friendly.
My boys loved that. They came back and said, Mom, Dad, you guys got to go see it.
I loved it. It's really clever. It's a wonderful spoofing of pop culture and the internet in particular. It bothered me. My only negative is that it bothered me a little bit with so much product placement in the movie. I don't know if it was technically, you know, paid for product placement by YouTube and Fandango and eBay and all the internet apps and sites that we go to all the time, but they sure were free commercials for them for a significantly young audience, and like blatant plugging for the Disney product, which is the home company of this movie. If they can't plug their own company,
right,
you know, why bother? But it just bothered me that in a children's entertainment movie that there was all that commercialism that was going on. But it was funny. It was funny. It was very clever. It was a great spoofing. Loved it a lot. And to me, you can't go wrong with the Rocky franchise. I've been saying that even the bad Rocky movies I've enjoyed because it's, you know, it's just so familiar. It's like visiting with an old friend. So, you know, I think that's part of it. And The Grinch is out now, and The Star is Born is out right now, and Bohemian Rhapsody is out right now. I mean, there are a lot of really good movies that are entertaining movies, I should say, at least pretty much for the whole family. Not sure A Star is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody is something for the whole family, but, you know, there's certainly ones that adults are lining up to go and see. And the next couple of weeks, there's going to be even more of that with Aquaman is going to be opening with Jason Momoa, starring as the DC Comics hero. I'm at the airport right now because I'm headed to New York to interview Lin-Manuel Miranda and Emily Blunt for the new Mary Poppins movie that is expected to be, you know, one of the huge movies for the, you know, the Christmas holiday. And Steve Carell's got a new movie, and Julia Roberts has got a new movie. So there's tons of stuff over the next, you know, week or so that'll slowly be laid out. So expect that trend of huge box office numbers to continue.
Good. That's exciting news. That's very good news. All right, let's take a look at this weekend. The biggest movie to come out is this movie, The Favorite. That's an Emma Stone movie. You've seen it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's right now it's got all the Oscar buzz right now. Whatever A Star Is Born doesn't have, The Favorite does have. It's Emma Stone, it's Rachel Weisz, and Olivia Colman. It's a period piece movie set in 18th century England that's centered around the life of Queen Anne, who is a bit of a nut, a little bit crazy, more than eccentric. Who had bizarre explosions of personality. This movie is unlike any period piece movie that you've ever seen before. It looks like it. It sounds like it. But once you get into the thick of this movie, it has a very 2018 feel to it, complete with language, complete with more than sexual tension, with extremely witty, very contemporary style humor. Oh.
They're calling out bingo numbers in the background.
It's where the unloading.
One of you need to go to the white courtesy phone immediately.
Right. That's fine.
I believe, if they even still do that. But this movie is so well written and hilariously put together. Emma Stone is amazing. Rachel Weisz is amazing. Olivia Colman as Queen Anne is amazing. One great performance after another. This one has Oscar written all over it. I gave it Dean's List A. Really, really liked it.
That's excellent. I know a lot of people have an aversion. They see 18th century characters and storylines, and they say that. But sometimes you'd be surprised.
You would like this one. Yeah,
really?
This is not like any period piece movie. It does not take itself seriously whatsoever. It does in telling the story. It's a power struggle of, you know, who is Rachel Weisz is the right-hand woman of Queen Anne. And the Emma Stone character is a young servant, and they're vying for the attention of the Queen Anne's affection and favor. So it's please. Wow, did you hear that name?
No, what was it?
For Mr. Toba Kalawa.
Oh, is he there? Put him on.
Just struck me funny. it's irreverent and edgy, and I think. If you, like me, I went into this going, oh, period piece movie, I'll be asleep in 10 minutes. not at all. I thoroughly enjoyed this. Big old Dean's List day on this one.
Outstanding.
The only other new movie for this weekend is called The Possession of Hannah Grace. It's the story of a cadaver which may be possessed. This is all action that takes place in a morgue at night. They did not screen this for the critics ahead of time. I don't know why, because just by that description, it also has Oscar written all over it as well.
One of those fun Christmas movies we look forward to all year.
Right. This is going to be the new Home Alone.
Dean, travel safely.
Home Alone in a morgue. I'm so sorry about the announcement.
No, that's okay. Glad to talk to you. Have a safe trip, and we'll talk when you get back.
Have a good weekend.
All right, that's Dean Richards. We'll come back and find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's coming up next. It's
and
Wendy.
The stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.